What's up, everybody? This is Cy Smith, and you are in the basement with Javon and Therese. In the basement with Javon and Therese. In the basement with Javon and Therese. In the basement, hey, with Javon and Therese.
Ooh, ooh, I dig that. Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there actually. But anyway.
All our losses though, Jay.
I'm gonna send y'all some.
I'll definitely get an address. I'll send
y'all
some.
You can send me some cologne, cause I mean,
you know.
Yeah. Just in case I should meet Shaka Khan, I want to smell, you know, nice.
Oh God.
Okie dokie, man. Whatever you say.
With time, so,
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just do this.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr.
Ooh.
Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.
Ooh. Hey, how you doing?
I like that. What was that?
What was that?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what that is.
I heard the tail end of it, but whatever it was really beautiful. You know what? It hit the nostalgia pocket.
Yes,
that's what I heard.
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
Yes.
Sounded much, much different, though, when you first faded it out.
Yeah, that's
what
I added a little, you know, something to it, but...
Razzle dazzle spice.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? A little Tammy too much, a little something over there, a little something over there.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm feeling better today than I was feeling at the end of last week and the beginning of this week. I'm getting there, you know. I'm getting there. I'm readjusting also to going back into the office. That's something new.
Oh yeah.
And so my aside from my daily habits having to revert, it's really like a complete reset. Remembering that I have to wake up early, like. Extra early because there's traffic.
Yeah.
And then the sort of traffic is different. There was an overturned truck and back to, I'm like, this is all very sadly familiar, you know, but it is what it is. You know, it's the grind. It's the city life grind. You know, just reminding people to be safe, you know, just cut it out and just be safe. And, you know, it's always good to see people that you care about. That's nice. But, you know, I wasn't crying about seeing people on video. I could see you on the video. True.
I see you.
Remember? I thought I saw you on the video. True.
Wasn't mad at that at all.
You know, hey, Seiji.
Seiji, Seiji.
And Gabby Greta. So Wednesday night, we did not do a live show. And Tammy Too Much learned a couple of more lessons about this technological thing. So I don't think we were even up and running until about 7:30. But I was able eventually, because you know what, this thing, it doesn't tell you all the rules ahead of time. So for the most part, our shows run for 2 hours or sometimes a little bit more, which we're entitled to do. You know, we have it set up that way. And, but when you do a replay, you can't do that. So then I had to see if I could find something. But I didn't know that. It's not like they say, okay, we have this new feature. You can play replays, and this is what you have to do. These are the rules. These
right.
are the confines. No, it just says you can do replays now, and then there's a new replay button. Do you want to do a brand new broadcast, or you want to do a replay? So I'm thinking, okay, just push the damn button, you know, like I was gonna say like Elizabeth Withers said, shout out to EW, but Suge, like Suge said, push the button, right? That's a Color Purple thing, anyway. Yeah, but it turned out that not only do you have to push the button, you have to have some edited film, you have to that. And it can't just be, it can be a previous show, but a previous show that only ran for an hour. Well, we don't have a previous show that only ran for an hour. So in order to do that, it has to be something that was edited. So what was cool is that I had intended to play Dawn Robinson's show, but I ended up playing the Gandhis, and that was cool. So the replay of the Gandhis was on Wednesday night, and I watched just to see if it did come on the way it was supposed to, whatever. Came on a little late because I put it up late, but Seiji was there. So I saw Sage saying hi, and Sage, if you're still watching, the reason why we weren't able to, you know, do this sort of thing is because it wasn't a live show. So I don't want you to think that you were being ignored. It's just that we couldn't put it up. But I was able to comment. So you are able to comment. Did you watch it, Gabby? So Yeah, yeah. So it was she said she was so confused. So
I think what would help is that when we take a break, that we put up something, we post something on the social media page saying that, you know,
there's going to be a break. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny because I was talking to Sage the same day, earlier in the day. So he said, I'll see you later on. I said, actually, no, we're off tonight. You know, Javon's going to do a rerun. He said, no!
You know what? I got that same reaction from a couple of folks, except for one person who was like, yeah, good. Take the day off, which was Misty J. Shout out to Misty J. Always supporting. So I think we should be able to do that a little bit more often. I think we should do that a little bit more often. I just have to prep more shows specific to replays. So, of course, that gives me another chore, but that's okay. You know, that's a labor of love.
About as we have the guests on at the 8, well, you know, at the last second hour, so maybe
right.
You can start it from there in the middle and then go.
Right, which is something that I thought, you know, oh, that could be a simple trick, except that those shows are not, so once the guest comes on, we still go beyond an hour with them in a lot of cases. We just, because we can. And so those shows go on and on. And then there's no introduction, which it doesn't mean that there has to be an intro. It just needs to be filtered out. And then, as a matter of fact, I edited a show. Well, I started editing a show this morning because I was up at 6:30 this morning because I had to start getting up at 6:30 so that I could go to work, going to the office. Mm-hmm. So my body said, "Oh shit, it's time to get up." And then once that happened, it was whatever. So
now you definitely, because you know, and I'm going to say this. Considering that you're going back, we are still in this pandemic, you know, it's still going to be the levels of stress. Some people can't take it, and as opposed to doing things, and I'm not specifically talking about you, Jay, but you're going to have to make that extra concerted effort to take care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been... And, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm going to be preaching, you know. And I say to you, as I say to myself, you know, there are a lot of people that just cannot, you know, I've had some experiences as of late where people are just snapping off, able to have, like, functioning conversations and nervous and all kinds of energy running through them. And I'm just going to, you know, say that people need to take care of themselves, give themselves a minute, you know. And make sure that self-care is part of that, particularly for what you do and, now I'm talking to you, for what you do and your commute. And your commute. It's a lot, you know, right now. And
so you know what, Rez, you brought up something. What? Let's peel an onion.
Okay.
Peeling that onion, self-care, that's it. And the nervousness and trepidation and concerns and worries that people have about this pre-clearance, this trying to reset during the pandemic. And
mm-hmm.
trying to go back to normal when things are not normal yet.
What's normal even? But go ahead.
Well, going back to the way we were, which I don't think we ever, we are not intended. And this is the problem with government and business owners and so forth and so on. It's, I think, and this is just my opinion because I don't run anything, but I think that the desire is to go back to the way things were. And, when you have a reset, when you have an opportunity to shut everything down and look at what worked, what didn't work, what is working now under these conditions, and how can we build upon that? Then you have an opportunity to really reset and rebuild. And as the slogan is, build back better. Well, start with that. Start with what was done well, what didn't work, where we are, what we see about the past and about the present, and where do we want to be, and how can we get there? Do we have a plan? A true plan to get to where we really want to be. And I think instead of doing that, which makes sense to me, I think what we did, what we're doing now, what's happening now, not what we're doing now, because I'm just trying to live, but what's going on now is where we were, what we saw right, what we saw wrong, oh, it's terrible, we're sitting here, and it's like, okay, well, we need to get back to here. There's a panic going on in big business, government, corporations. There's a panic because of money. Money is not flowing. The economy is not moving. Therefore, there is a panic. And so they're like, hurry up, let's get back to this money, the prior money, the previous money. And the only way to get back to the previous money, in their minds, is to get back to the previous way of doing things. And that is not going to work because now you have people with a new understanding, a new sensibility, a new number one, but number two, there's still a goddamn disease out there ripping and roaring and killing people. But you know, it's like the minds, the powers that be, or whatever, are just not really thinking. It's not they're not being strategic. No. But they're not being, I think, well, honestly, I think, oh, God. If,
no.
Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say? Because I don't want
to. No, I'm going to let you,
I'm going to let you finish that. Okay, you know what?
But you know what it is? You know what I find, too? That we as a society have become so complacent. We have lost the capacity. We're so, and when they say things like, when you go other places, you hear things like spoiled Americans. I'm starting to examine all of that, right? Because we are so used to letting other folks think for us, right? We may have our little silos where we do our little mighty independent thinking. But by and large, you know, we watch what has been happening and we just kind of let it all soak in. And we go on about our business. And here's the thing. If it ain't concerning us immediately in our households, we keep it pushing, which is disgusting to think. But it is. But I'm more inclined to believe it's true now more than ever, right? And what this pandemic has done and what's going on behind, you know, you said something that triggered this thought with they don't think. They haven't been thinking. And now it's just on a grand scale. We have lost the capacity to talk to one another because it's so much other stuff fueling one conversation between paranoia, anxiety, stress, you name it.
Yeah.
You know, you name it. So now, and you know, transference and countertransference.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend more time of trying to convince each other what's right and what's not right.
Yeah.
And once upon a time, you can have your opinion. I can have mine. We could lock hands and skip to lunch. It didn't mean, you know, the name calling. It didn't mean the craziness, and it damn sure didn't mean a sense of discrimination and bullying and all the extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched some of these conversations. Hey, LaVon, I watched some of these conversations as of late. Public conversations that I'm watching, you know, and I'm having private conversations, and folks have lost the capacity to have their own sense of, and then, you know, and then it's like, and then you say nasty shit and then you can't come back from it.
Yeah.
You know, because you're taking everything so incredibly personal.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's not even about what's in front of you. It's about what the sauce you've been brewing in, you know. So we got the, you know, everybody that has an opinion outside of the mainstream is a conspiracy theorist. Since when?
Yeah.
Since when? You know, everybody, if you don't agree with what's being said or you question. And see, that's the thing. Once we stop questioning people, we are doomed. We are doomed.
Right.
Insane to me. If you question or if you have it's like, how are we going to get to the point where you're in class and the teacher says, okay, this is how you do it, and then walks out the room. And you're sitting there like, well, just do it. That's insane to me.
Yeah. It's true.
You know?
It's true. That's true.
Can you imagine a world where we can't question? Can you imagine? So that means you're totalitarian. You want people to think for you, and this is what it is. And if you don't do it, then there are consequences to that, you know. And I've heard every argument on every side of the stick. And guess what? They're all right.
Mm.
They're all right. So now, where do we go?
Exactly.
That stage, entitlement and ignorance equal disaster.
And I think that where we go is each individual must think for themselves and plan for themselves. And because we have gotten to this place where, like you said, you know, it's too volatile to plan together.
It is. But we can't talk to one another. You know, it's like you have your idea, I have my idea. Your idea I can sit and listen to, mm-hmm. My idea you can sit and go, mm-hmm. And again, we're still in the same boat. We don't know what we're doing now, and we damn sure ain't going to know what we're doing after both ideas are expressed. But the idea is not to rip each other down in the process, you know? Misty J, you're hilarious. You know, but it is what it is, you know? And she too is entitled to her experience. We are all sum of our experiences.
Exactly,
right?
exactly. I mean, I can to what I've experienced, I can speak to what I know, I can speak to what someone said, but I need to be clear that from what I was told, from what I have heard, that does not mean that I know it. From
exactly.
What I have read, because reading is fundamental, and
it
it's
is.
Also for the mental, but that's just my opinion.
And even reading being fundamental, I could, you know, because this is all chess now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could pick up my knight and say to you, I also read that Columbus discovered America.
you know, you could read that. You could
read that. That's why I think that, you know, there's a certain amount of, like, you really have to be discerning. And everything that's coming at you, laser speed ain't facts. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of, you know, and like I said, you know, someone asked me a question. Oh, Therese, are you anti-vax? I'm not pro-vax either. What I am is pro-choice. And I've heard many different arguments. And pro-choice walks us into another space, you know, of being able to make conscious thoughts for ourselves. Because I've noticed a few things missing. You know, one of these things just doesn't belong here. You know, I noticed a few things missing with what's being reported. That I only hear death numbers. I don't hear the survival rates. I don't hear them.
I know
how you have that conscious hit you right here, that thought right here in your chest. That's the same one you have in that area where you're walking down an alley late at night. You know, an extra sense picks up that can kind of go, ooh, that one. You know, I call it my God voice. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you have a whole lot of chaos around you, your God voice could kick in. You know, and says, "Get the fuck out of here."
Yeah,
you know, my
yeah.
God voice cusses.
Yeah.
You know, they're just things that, you know, I watch that are consistently not reported, you know. And shout out to my girl Keisha, the Love Movement on IG, because she is extremely bright online and off, you know. And I just noticed that, you know, when people say, you know, they care about us and they're trying to do,
Who cares about us?
The government.
The government cares about us?
The government, for its people. And we're just trying to do X, Y, and Z, keep everybody safe. Well, you know, how about promoting some holistic stuff? How about talking about your immune system in a way that doesn't apply science? You're trying to create something that is not of the body. The body is probably the most miraculous things that has ever existed.
Exactly.
That man didn't do, except for, you know.
Yeah, I know.
But the idea that we can, the idea that we can have this miracle happen between your anatomy gets together, biology happens, this complicated system internally gets created. It didn't need the okie doke. So we've gotten things in the world that we need to be safe from or safer from. They compare it to immunizations as a child where you didn't have a choice, but you also knew that it wasn't made within the last 3 weeks of you taking it.
Last 3 weeks.
Here, I'm going to cook up this good MMR for y'all. Here you go. Give this to your kids.
Yeah, it's a in terms of the vaccine. You know, I'm at this point right now where I'm kind of over talking about it. Although it's still very prevalent and needs to be discussed. So I'm not by any means trying to minimize the importance of discussing it. It needs to be discussed, especially on platforms like this, you know, where everybody's free to have their own opinions and, you know, everybody's opinion is respected and appreciated. I'm just, woohoo, so tired, man, to vax, to not vax. All the different opinions, you know, I've like you said, you know, we've heard them all, we've seen it all. We, you know, there's black facts on the history of this government and experimentation and the but one thing that you said actually
is a thing that sticks out to me, which is the numbers being reported are the numbers of people who are dying who are not vaccinated.
But there's so many other stats, ma'am.
Right. And with the other stats they're giving in statistics and and percentages and not in true numbers. So, for example, they'll say 95%, I'm just saying 95% of breakthrough cases don't end up in the hospital, right? Let's just say 95%. 95% of what number? Don't tell me 95%. That could be 95% of 10. That could be 95% of 10,000 or 10 million. I need true numbers. But that's a problem. And it feels sneaky. And because that's how I think. Like people are getting to the point where there's this whole faction of people that believe in Santa Claus and believe that Pinocchio was a real boy. So that's like a large portion of this country, and it's really scary. But that speaks to a bigger problem, you know, that I used to speak about before the pandemic. Now there's so much, I can't even talk about all the other shit. But the education or lack thereof in the South of this country. The Southern, I'm sorry, if you're from the South, I love you. I love you all. However, house and ever. Educate yourself. You know, that thing, man. Like, the truth. Don't be afraid of the truth. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid of the truth.
It's just, you know, I'm part of what you do, Javon, and part of what I do in a lot of arenas. The big part of what I did every week was compile statistics. Yeah. You had to compile numbers. If you're doing, you know, and this is right in my, this hits me directly in my Libra sensibilities about balance. It really does. So, you know, because the questions to be asked, not just what people want to give you. It's like, okay, well, you know, so far, every single thing that was reported was debunked as we go along. And mix that with we've been here before. We've been here before. And guess what's the same? And no disrespect to Dr. Fauci whatsoever. None. But he also led another epidemic in the 80s where he swore by and created mass hysteria. And, you know, what I say by that is when you send out facts of things that haven't thoroughly been vetted yet, the media grabs it and makes it a hellhole.
Yeah,
because all they do is report.
The problem, and I hear you with that, but the problem is, especially back then, people wanted answers, and the president back then wasn't even willing to talk about it, and the little bit that they knew was not enough to even tell us anything. So they were coming out with bits and pieces, and a lot of it also is tainted by preconceived notions about people. So, and about people's lifestyles, and about personal choices and orientations and shit like that, like prejudices. Let me just say that, like prejudices and phobias. So although some of that stuff...
We got any of that right now?
Yeah,
see that right now?
We still got
okay.
that. So we
right,
still got go. That. So we still got that. And a lot of, until it's all fleshed out, but while people are dying in mass numbers, unfortunately, having a president that refuses to speak on things is really bad. To pretend that nothing's happening here. What did you say? What? I didn't hear that, right? refuse to say it ever, right? Mm-hmm. It's different because then you still have scientists and doctors and everything working in the background, doing their thing and figuring it out, even though it took years, whatever, whatever. It's a little bit different than having a president that says, this is fine, it's going to go away in 2 weeks like the flu. Stop doing the research. Stop counting. Stop testing. Stop doing this. Stop. Are you crazy? Like, stop testing? It's because you're doing all this testing that we're getting these numbers. For real? For real. And inject some bleach up your ass and put a ray gun and put some light up your butt, and that'll do it. I mean, come on, man.
Come on,
son.
But the steps are identical. See, I lived through that on the front line. I heard the messages coming through. There was panic. There was fear. There was a targeted demographic.
Absolutely.
They started pumping out this medicine. People were dying from it. They weren't listening to people when they were saying that, hey, we're seeing these symptoms. They needed it to be isolated. They started talking about black folks, gay folks, monkeys, and all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. They threw out this AZT like it was God's gift to man. People started getting it as it was a lifeline. And what they noticed is that lifeline over time was killing folks. Some rapidly because they had other things connected to it, you know, and others not so much. But at the end of the day, about maybe a year or two later, maybe three, they came back and said it was toxic. What people that were doing it on the front lines were saying to them all along, this person's illness accelerated.
Yeah.
This happened.
And
now, don't get me wrong.
No, go ahead.
They still use AZT, but now in a respectable dose for mothers for carrying that are positive. But it took how many people did we have to lose before they got it right in their clinical trial?
It's the same thing that's going on now.
Same thing.
But. Unless there's some other way that scientists can figure it out. I mean, there's this really, really terrible, it's a really terrible saying. It's terrible, but I think from what I've seen, until I see something differently, I have to say, I think it's true. That, and it hurts to say it out loud. I hate saying it out loud, but I'm going to say it once. And then I'm never going to repeat it. Well, I'm not going to say I'm never going to repeat it because here I am repeating it when I probably have said I'm never going to say it out loud again. But some must die so that others can live. So when faced with some kind of disease, a disease pandemic over the centuries, they have to figure out how to cure it, how to stop it. And so not to say that they do it right, because I'm hoping that eventually they figure out how to do this so that less people have to die or not have to, but less people die, period. And figure out how to do these things quicker. Because if you can keep your dick hard for 4 hours.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, I mean, you could put all your brain power on that shit. Then surely we can do better.
And you're already seeing things. And here's the hit. Now, y'all keep a list if you care to. Because they already have things popping up. And people are reporting inflammation. Myocarditis, Bell's palsy, blood clots. These are things that they already are reporting consistently. Y'all keep a list, and this list continues to grow, you know, because these are not things that you will see immediately.
Right, right.
These are things you'll see down the way. Oh, and of course, I cannot forget women saying that there are issues with their menstruation.
Yeah.
Things going on. So, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't let them pedal backwards and say, oh, well, you know, because every time you hear that, they have a go-to response in very small numbers.
Yep.
Very small numbers add up. I remember specifically walking past my friend who was positive and just got out of the hospital, and all he wanted to do in the 80s, all he wanted to do was get some fresh air because he'd been in the hospital for so long. So I went and bought him a whole sweatsuit when he was being discharged, and we went for a walk. He came out of St. Vincent's Hospital in Manhattan, for those of you who know that. It's no longer there, but it was on 7th Avenue in Greenwich Village. And we were walking across the street, and he was, you know, slow in doing so, taking his time. But what I noticed about his lower extremities from the back, from waist down, was that he was incredibly swollen. Incredibly swollen. And, you know, and I had him, and I'm like, come on, we're going to walk. And we just, you know, and he said, I want to walk down Christopher Street. Well, then that's what we're going to do. You know, before we jump in the cab and go uptown, let's go. So we walked, and he was just breathing deeply and taking his time. And just like he said, you know, he said that, you know, that place was a hellhole. Every day you're hearing beep, beep. You could hear it down the hall. You could hear them coding. It's like it just wasn't good for my mental health, but I'm glad I'm out, you know. And I started noticing slowly but surely around that time, I found myself looking at people's lower halves because that's where everything from that medication was showing up, you know. And people just this just mimics the same thing, you know. It's like deja vu in a sense, you know. And I do not believe that, you know, God rest his soul. I just compared to now where people are living longer, you know, with medications that you can just pop a pill, one, you know, with viral suppression, you know, and people that really have suppressed their viral loads so much that they're undetectable status.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean they don't have it, but they're undetectable versus that. In the beginning.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what it's going to take, you know, to test their medications out on folk. But I do know that it's time to start discussing more holistic forms. It's time to stop hybriding all of our fruit and vegetables, you know, perhaps let people grow their own stuff, you know. It's time to take it back to Eden, if you will, because your body will do what your body's going to do. It's amazing that way. But we, you know, it's like, you know, you only use a portion of your brain at a time.
Yeah.
Your body will do some amazing things if you get up off it and allow it to.
Yeah.
Dr. CB used to say that all the time. Give me a month out of your country.
Yeah.
And I'll reset your whole entire system for you. But the problem is sustaining it.
Absolutely.
You know? But it's not impossible. It's been done. It's been done.
I like that. Let's take a quick, very quick music break.
Listen, Eden is kingdom. And Eden mindset is a kingdom mindset. Let me hear ya. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see you do your hands like this. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a feeling. It was his plan that we reflect the tempter came. We were distracted, the tempter came. And we fell. We were deemed to live a life that a life that's full, a life that's rejected. It is my goal to remind you of this principle. Will we be a new one?
Where my Eden citizens at? Let me hear it.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Yeah, sing it to somebody.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Tell somebody a thing.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Say it again, say it.
Let's get back to Eden.
Okay, tell them how it is, y'all.
Our family's blessed.
Our family's blessed.
Finances blessed.
Our finances blessed.
Our mind is spirit.
Our mind is spirit.
And our body's blessed.
And our body's blessed.
We were tempted.
We were tempted.
And we fell.
And we fell. But guess what?
Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Now all is well.
Now all is well. So what are you waiting for?
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Tell somebody. Say.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Oh, you can sing it.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Everybody. Sing it.
Let's get back to
Eden. Right here. Come on, y'all. Let's open up your mouth. Come on. Eden, where you at?
How about that for wow? That was some instinct shit, right?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That was, and you already had that queued up.
No, well, I queued it up as you were speaking.
Wow. That's pretty dope.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Because, you know, that's what's up. That's what's up. And now let's see what else Tammy Too Much is going to.
We got some birthday shout-outs.
Yes, give the birthday shout-outs.
Yes.
Who got birthdays?
We got, happy birthday to the legendary Freda Payne.
Woo!
Nile Rodgers, two legends. Nile, listen, you don't know music unless you know who Nile Rodgers is, okay?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And Freda Payne, too, you know. That you've been gone.
That's it.
All that's left is a band to go.
The beginning beat of that song. Oh my God. It just. I don't know. Yeah. Let's do this. It's a banger, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And happy birthday, Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes, Jada.
Yes, yes.
You know,
Virgos.
Think of Jada and, I don't know, it just don't feel so bad to be entangled. You know, it's entangled.
Oh,
was a
man.
Bad word until Jada said it. You know,
listen, Jada's gonna have to do something to get that whole entire entanglement conversation out of our heads, because
you know,
I don't.
No, I like it there. Go ahead, Jada. Go ahead. Ain't nothing wrong with an entanglement.
Lord, it said, says the scorpion.
Which, by the way, I have a question. I have a question.
Uh oh.
So if I say, where are all the sexy people at? If I say, I want to hang out with a bunch of sexy people, right? And mean it just the way I said it, right? I just want to hang out with the sexy people. That don't mean I want to, right?
Let's be clear.
Let's be clear. Man, so, all right. So I went into a new social group.
Uh-oh.
Only me. And I really like the group because all I did, you know, the rule is you have to put your picture up and then you tell something about yourself. So most people said, hi, my name is Jane and I'm a lesbian and I like to hike.
Wait, well, what kind of group was it first?
It's a support group. I mean, I guess a Facebook 40s and up lesbo group, right?
Okay.
And it's like, you know, you don't have to. And also one of the things was it said, do not harass the people who are in relationships. Let's respect everybody who's in a relationship. You know, it was clear. It said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, cool. You know, there's some single people and there's some couple people. And that's exactly. So I said something like, you know, I'm a songwriter looking for inspiration. I like to do this. I like to do that. I'm a Scorpio, blah, blah, blah.
And my name is Earl.
Girl, can I tell you? There were so many people. Welcome to the group. I was like, they're so nice. Oh my God. I never felt so welcome anywhere. I mean, like hundreds, 100 people. Like, I was like, oh my God. Then all of a sudden, my inbox started getting full. And I was like, they even check on me because I said something like, over the past 2 years, I haven't been up, so I'm looking for some positive, I said positive with a sense of humor to be connected to, right? That's what I said. Positive, sexy people with a sense of humor to get to people. When I say people, I didn't say a person. I said people.
Okay.
Unless they just down for like that, you know, like just people, because they all started checking on me. And I was like, this group is really the bomb, because these people, not only do they welcome you, they friend you, and they say, so you can call me anytime. You can ask me anything. What do you like to do? I like to do this. I own a business. I have this. Oh, wow. I couldn't even keep up with them. This was so nice. Until one of them said, you know, you are so fine. Still single. I didn't put that in there that I was single. So,
go ahead. Excuse Excuse me.
People, plural, pleasantries. I have nothing more to say. What's the website?
That's one of those deep body laughs.
I mean, and I was, you know, answering and saying, wow, every day I was waking up to all of these. I was like, wow, these people are nice. They are. Tell us more. No.
So, what attracted you to the website? Was it just, not website, to the group? Did you get, like, invited?
I got invited.
Okay.
Somebody said to me, oh, this is a group that you might like.
Somebody you know, somebody didn't know?
Somebody I know, sort of. Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody I know.
Knew enough about you to know that you might like that.
You know what? Shut up, Tereska.
See, you got to watch those invitations. Invitations are running into some shit.
Could be an orgy group, now that I'm thinking about it.
Did you disclose your relationship status at the onset? That's a good question.
That, you know what? First of all, let's be clear.
That would be a big fat no.
But
oh, gosh. Person would have knew that, you know.
But you know what? I don't think there's any relevance there. I didn't invite anybody. I said what I said. And that's all that I said.
See what happens when the questions start coming, people? Question everything.
Look, all I know is that I said what I said. I did not give any invitations. And
she left the door open.
No, I didn't.
You're hilarious.
No, I just closed the damn door. I just closed the damn door back. I had to respond to every single one of them.
She plays burlesque with the door.
No, not that. To be honest, I was shocked because.
And how did that shock manifest?
Because
what did that shock look like?
No, it didn't look like that. I'm not that. I'm not, no, it was like I was confused. I was very confused, to be honest. I was like. What? I said no. Because look, you go to my Facebook page. It's very clear who I am. Stop it. Anybody that wanted to friend me. Anybody that wanted to friend me, and you're friended. You know who I am. You know my family. It's right there. So that's it. That's it. The end. That was like. one time you and I were in front of the Groove, and that lady clearly didn't know who you were, though. But do you remember the incident?
Vaguely. See, I don't. Some things I try to erase from my. I do remember something vaguely happened.
It was so funny, and I was like, you know. Not that I needed to, but that shit never happens to me.
But here's the twist, though.
Can I tell the story? Or no?
Sure. Go ahead. You can refresh my memory.
Okay. I'm standing out in front of the Groove. It's this little spot in the village. And I was videotaping Therese and asking her to say, hi, my name is Therese, and I'm in the basement with Javon. That was it. That was supposed to be like a one take. But people were walking by. It was late at night, but whatever. But, you know, the village never sleeps. People walking through. This random woman, white woman, not that that matters, but she was Caucasian. She came up to Therese, hugged Therese and said, I'm going wherever she's going. And Therese was all of, You know, like, get off of me, stranger. Stranger danger, stranger danger. And I was like, that shit never happens to me. Not that I needed to. But
I do remember that.
I was like, yo, maybe it's because I'm so short they couldn't see me. I don't know. They just bypassed because I'm like very, you know. But
using your hands, yeah, I do remember that actually.
But she wasn't, I mean, for, you know, whatever, she was young and cute. She was cute for herself. I mean, not my type, but she was cute.
She was an attractive woman. Didn't like the use of hands.
And not only that, you were already married, I believe. Were you married? I think you were. Yeah, you were married already. You were married on national television. So does that mean you're supposed to wear a sign, I'm married, back the fuck up? Although a wedding ring actually would do that.
But understand something, and I'm going to say this with
all
a complete...
All the single ladies. Okay.
You know, people don't really care. The only people that care are people that love you, people that support you. But my experience from being a single person, meaning, well, I'll put it like this, my experience in being an unmarried person and a married person is the same. The only thing different is me. Did she embody more Becky or Karen? Becky, definitely.
Yeah, that was definitely. Not Karen's definitely. Energy. And I wouldn't even say Becky. She was more like...
Cindy Takes the Night. She was, you know, she was partying. She was down in the village. She was partying, feeling good.
She was cool people. She had the energy of a person that you could hang out with, you know,
right.
And have a good time. She was really just having a good time, you know, and clearly can hug anybody she saw on the street.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. You know, I was like, you know.
Yeah.
But I can have a sense that she was harmless. She was just having a good time, and you know.
Her name was Lola.
Wow, that's funny.
So here it is. Here it is. I've been waiting for this. Well, Rez's glasses off, because I'm just saying. Because you're just saying what?
Huh? What?
Talking about Rez's eyes. That's what it is. It's the eyes. I thought we had this clear. I have a set of eyes also, okay? She has eyes, and I have eyes, okay? We all have eyes. You have eyes. I mean, my very, very hetero friends. But her eyes.
Aries rule Caucasians, thus they... are the acquisition, thus a ring may not stop them ever seeing Leona Hemsley movie. I vaguely remember a Leona Hemsley movie. That is amazing that you made those connections. You know, I love the way people think.
That, you know? That was amazing. Look at this. There, see, started up the queen. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. It's all in the eyes. My, what? Stalker.
And see what happened? It's all in the beholder. That's exactly what it's all in, you know? It's all in the beholder.
She said, my eyes are stalkerish.
Pluto and Mars rule Scorpion, thus most of them, you don't get the vibe. You just can't walk up and touch them.
No, you can't. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a vibe, because don't touch me. Don't fucking touch me.
Yes. There are 5 tall lesbians outside the NBA.
You know what? And let me just say this, Queen, I love me some Aries energy. I am so attracted to Aries energy. I love I don't know what it is that fire, that Aries, that, you know, Chaka Khan is an Aries.
Yes. I spent, Aries have a lot of things. Fire is one of them. Yes. If you have an Aries that is in your corner, it's amazing. If you have an Aries that is not in your corner, it's a nightmare.
Yes. Time for. Yes, you are a vibe. You hold a surplus of melanin. I've never heard that before. A surplus of melanin, and are different, very different than Caucasians. Okay. I legit stayed in the whole relationship for too long, partially because she was tall.
See.
You know what?
See what happened. And they don't mind. They just roll. They're quick.
Yep, that's it.
Bang.
If you didn't know, now you know. Let's do rapid fire. The most recent rapid fire, I just did it this morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, and now your day.
Melody.
Harmony.
Ministry of Sound.
British.
Larry Levan.
Beginning.
Frankie Knuckles.
Ah, my brother.
Love.
God.
Thank you. You're up next, Jay.
Okay. Fried chicken.
Yum.
Harlem.
Vibe.
House music.
My love.
Voice.
Me.
Family.
My life.
That's what's up. That's it right there.
Behind the veil, Anaya Greenball.
Hey, this is Anaya Day, and we're in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yes!
Do you guys watch Queen Sugar?
We do. I do. When I can
catch. Okay, well, the past season, they licensed one of my songs called How Many Ways. And it's an R&B ballad. And they're in the diner, and they're having a meeting or a discussion. And my voice is blaring in the background. I had forgotten they licensed it. And I'm watching the show, just like everybody else. And it's like, how many ways can I say? And I was like, I totally forgot. I was like, that's me. Ma!
She said, what happened, Stinky? Never should have told me that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, man. Music!
Yes, shout out to the legend.
Yes.
Miss you, bro.
Yes.
Like, woof, when you talk about the, you know, how those little cutaways fly about when someone's going back through their life, you know, when you always see in the older movies, you see their life flashing before them. It looks like this.
Yes.
So many, you know.
Exactly.
So many. And they keep coming. They keep coming. Mm. Well, what were you getting ready to say? Shout out to the late, great Gwen Guthrie.
Absolutely.
Do you know, here's a fun fact.
Fun fact.
When they were recording, well, when Larry was doing Gwen's remixes, I got to see that live.
Oh, wow. That's dope. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Sitting there ODing on sticker bars with the legs crossed in the corner of the studio. I like to be out of the way. But it was hard because I kept wanting to dance, you know. But it was an amazing session, you know. And she was, it was his intention to play it that night at the garage. So it was like I think they went in there like some crazy hour and came out, you know, probably, you know, right before he had to go put it on there. But it was the remix, I listened to the remix of Peanut Butter and Ain't Nothing Going On But The Rent, you know, those two, which he broke that night at the garage.
That's what's up.
Rest in power.
Both of them. And speaking of interesting facts, let's do a Black History fact. How about that?
Let's go.
Many Americans of different temperaments, talents, racial and ethnic backgrounds help paint the rich mosaic that we know today as cooperative extension. Much of the mosaic can be attributed to the efforts of one man, Booker T. Washington, who led an agricultural and mechanical school known then as the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute. He, along with famed Tuskegee Institute researcher George Washington Carver, understood that the insights generated at Tuskegee and other agricultural research facilities across the United States would be fully utilized only if they were successfully communicated directly to farmers where they lived and worked. They pioneered the use of agricultural demonstration wagons, known as Jessup wagons, for movable schools. Washington appointed star Tuskegee student Thomas Monroe Campbell to oversee the implementation of this grand vision. These wagons, launched in 1906, were dispatched to far-flung regions of Alabama to provide producers with the most efficient farming methods. Without being fully aware of it at the time, Washington and Carver transformed extension work. The first 100 years of cooperative extension work are due in no small measure to these three men who acquainted Americans with practical knowledge in a way that had never been tried before. Knowledge that not only empowered people, but in a great number of cases, actually saved them. In this centennial year, it is with immense pride that the Alabama Cooperative Extension System salutes these three cooperative extension visionaries from Alabama, without whom the extension legacy would not have been possible: Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver, and Thomas Monroe Campbell.
So Booker T. Washington, man, let's see, what do I want to say about him? The significance of an African-American being asked to deliver a speech at a major convention in the heart of the South to a white audience was historic. And this happened on September 18th of 1921, I think. Only 30 years after the end of slavery, can leader, orator, and educator Booker T. Washington delivered what is considered by many to be one of America's greatest speeches on September 18th, 1895. That's the date. He addressed race relations in what has become known as his Atlanta Compromise speech at the Cotton States and International Exposition in Atlanta. Although he called on African Americans and whites to work together to build the South, many considered parts of Washington's speech an appeasement to fears whites had of African Americans wanting to progress towards the upward economic and social rim of society. He received a standing ovation at the conclusion of the speech. You know, the interesting thing about Booker T. Washington, who was the founder of Tuskegee, he was in some parts of Black America perceived to be a sellout. A lot of people thought that he was playing up to the white man. And, you know, he taught bricklaying and farming and, you know, agricultural skills. And, you know, the young Black people of that day had higher aspirations. Or different, not higher, I don't want to say higher, but different aspirations. And he thought it was important that we be able to show that we could be farmers on our own without having to share crop, that it was important for us to be able to build and stay in our own communities. And so that we could be perceived as equal. He also had some really strong opinions about a woman's place being, you know, in the kitchen and da-da-da-da-da. And that men should be, you know, the caretakers, the providers, and so forth and so on. So his legacy, although you hear the name to Booker T. Washington and you think great educator, scholar, and, you know, the ambassador and founder of Tuskegee, there's also another history, another part of his, in his legacy. You know, if you, I can't imagine being, I mean, I can only imagine being a black person in the 1890s America. And what that might have looked like, felt like for a black man, for a black woman. But for him, it was very important that black men stood up and show that they were equals to white men, who were the patriarchs of the country at the time, in charge of every damn thing. And, you know, when you're... I think he was born like right at the end of slavery. I think he was like 9 when our people were emancipated, whatever. I'm not going to get into that, Therese. I saw it in your face. I saw it. One eyebrow. The are we really free eyebrow. I saw it. But coming from that background and being raised and cared for by people who were enslaved, what does that, because, you know, I can only speak for myself, a product of being raised by people whose grandparents and great-grandparents were enslaved. So there is a trickle down of that. And what does that do to your psyche, your mentality? What does it do to your physical DNA and your self-love and the way you perceive yourself? But then the more you learn, the more you understand and so forth and so on. But back then, he didn't have the knowledge of where we are today. You know, like there was hope that some of the things that we are doing today or some of the freedoms or liberation, you know, that we have today, there was hope of that during his day. So, you know, it's really a heady thing when I think about people like him. And then on the other side of that, people like Harriet Tubman, people like Frederick Douglass, who, by the way, very interesting for some of, and you know, getting in touch with Ken these days has been very, very difficult for good reason, but you know, so a not largely known fact is that the descendants of Booker T. Washington and the descendants of Frederick Douglass ended up meeting at Tuskegee, getting married after knowing each other 3 months, and thereby having children. And the descendants of both Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington, all in one gene pool, which is very interesting to me. They have the Frederick Douglass Family Initiative, which is a nonprofit. And what they do is they educate to emancipate modern day slaves, or the modern day enslaved, which is like human trafficking is how it manifests itself today. So it's almost like the family business goes on, the education piece from the Booker side and the emancipation and I can't think of the word. What do you call the people that emancipate free people that I can't think of the word. What is the word?
People that do it?
Yeah. It starts with an A. I can't think of the word. Abolitionists. Modern what? Assholes.
Well, you know, just the idea that, you know.
Abolitionists are assholes?
No. I said, you said it starts with an A. This is before abolitionists came up, you know, and I was going to say assholes because I processed it like people that freed the slaves. And I'm thinking, but that goes, it triggers me into you freeing me, like that
I get it. I get it.
It's like,
but if when you think about the those who are trafficked today, right? Those young people, old people, you know, male and female, who are being trafficked today, and those people who are fighting to them free. It's that kind of, that's the way I perceive it. You know what I mean? Like getting them their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They were born free and born to be free. We all were. But then there were some assholes that thought that they should not be. And that, see.
There you go. Okay, gotcha.
I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist.
Go ahead. Follow that thought.
I won't do it,
Rez. Because it does take your breath away.
Rez, I won't do it.
Okay, enough of the shenanigans. Let's address the real elephant in the room.
Okay, who the hell did it? Did they, what? Who?
I actually like that.
How can you be born a human being? I don't care who your mama, who your daddy, who your great-great-granddaddy was, what you look like, what you don't look like, how long, short your hair is, how tall you are, how short you are, or the color of your eyes, how big your, or how little it, it don't matter. What would make you think, as a human being, that you have the right to enslave, to kidnap, to take another person and make them do your bidding, their will?
Mental health issues.
What the? Who? What? Okay, I can't.
Yeah, it starts with, first of all, well, it doesn't start with it. You know, my trigger is, you know, I'm better than you. Therefore, I must do this because you are a percentage of a human. You know, like really? Them sound like the facts y'all still fucking with. The stats, sorry, that y'all still messing with. Like, really? So you got this all figured out, don't you, Mr. White Man? You've got this all figured out, don't you? So you enslave a bunch of people. So you go to another continent. You enslave people, force them against their will. See, this is boom, boom, boom. It's like it's growing.
You
with your fight, your flight, and your fear mongering. It's growing. It started off primitive. Ships, you got the Nina, the Penta, and the whatever else you got going on. All the other cargo stuff. And you're still doing it. It's the same freaking formula. It's just evolving a bit. But
you
it's
know
the same
what?
Shit.
You know what's most perplexing to me, though, Rez?
What's that?
When I think of modern-day slavery, right, and I think about young girls who are forced into prostitution, a lot of times it's black men doing it. And that I don't understand. That I don't think I will ever understand.
Well,
beating them into submission, preying on their weaknesses, their stressors, lack of family support, finding vulnerable people and turning them out. And I mean your sisters, the very sisters you're supposed to be protecting.
Oh my. Oof. That's oof. Okay.
That's,
you know,
what I'm talking about.
I
mean, we already know there's generational issues with them others and that whole Christopher Columbus and all that shit. I get it. I can't fix them. But I need to know, as a sister, as an older person in this particular community, what can I do to stop these young men from doing this shit? I can't sweep out poverty and fix every young girl's brain with the stupid messages that comes through society. I can't fix that. I can't fix any of these young men either, but maybe there's something somewhere I can do. I can do something. I mean, you know, I thought I had, you remember, I had grand gestures not too long ago, what I was going to do. But honestly, I don't have the time and the wherewithal right now. And that's another venture I probably will retake up in the next 5 years or so. I once I get my own independence and freedom, you know, then I can maybe spend, because that's something that, you know, for me, you have to put your whole self into. You can't just do it haphazardly. These young girls and young boys, you know?
Yeah, you know, a lot of folks don't know that the oldest form of prostitution is not even female, it's men.
Yeah.
And it's, but yet, you know, of course, it shows up differently. That's a great question. I can't think, you know, my mind goes into the fundamentals and then it goes right out to the bottom line. And it says to me that it's still about money. and the same thing, the same concept, you know, it's big business and, you know, and people pay a lot for it, you know, and it looks, and it doesn't matter if it's on a street level or a somewhere on somebody's private island, you know, it is the same, you know, situation. And it's the same, and it's a lot of men at the helm. And I think that our men have to do a whole lot better. And I just mean, they just do, you know, when I think about times where I've witnessed, I'm talking about, this ain't nothing I've read, this ain't nothing I've been told or looked at, when I've witnessed, I think I may have shared this before. At one point I did outreach and we would go by into some of the hustle areas, right? So we'd be by the male prostitution areas, the female prostitution areas, the transgender prostitution areas, and we would hang out, you know, and try to take some of the young kids out of there, you know, and also try to give referrals and things and find spaces for the older folks too, because you can't just come through with nothing for folks that may just be tired of having to do that, right? The van that we rode in was high. It was a conversion van. And if you know anything about those 80s and 90s conversion vans, they sat up high. You know, they were like little mobile houses whereby we could see into the cars from a different point of view. And, you know, I would see all denominations. I would see wedding bands from people driving the steering wheel. I would see all things, and I would sit there and I would talk to my partner at the time and go, this is interesting. I would see, you know, a culture of people all together in a station wagon picking up one or two, particularly in the transgender areas, you know, and just driving off with them, you know, and front facing, they're so governed by how they live their lives. But that underbelly is real, is real. And I remember sitting and thinking, and, you know, my partner just saying things like, you think too much. You know, he's shout out to Claude. He would tell me all the time, TJ, don't start. And I'd be like, what? Do you see? I said, pay attention to this. And when he actually focused, and remember, this is another man I'm talking to. who has the luxury of ignorance and just pretending that it doesn't affect them, you know. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking, and he's always called me soft, and I didn't like that, so he started calling me fluffy instead. And I would say, he goes, oh, you're being fluffy again. And I was like, no, but it's just, this is an issue, man. It's an issue. It's an issue. Sex trade is real. Mm-hmm. And there are huge folk, majority men, and I'm going to say that at the risk of whatever, participating in this in a real way. And it's as soft as, hey, you want to go out on a date, to as obvious as picking folk up off the street. It doesn't change. And I've seen it both. Professionally, I've seen it. You know, modeling agency, industry party. You get there and it looks like a meat market. Oh, but they're in suits and they're white and they, you know, it doesn't make the girls any less young. You know, it doesn't make, you know, I was like, what is happening here? And removing myself promptly from that exchange. But, you know, my agency told me, hey, this is what's going on over here. Maybe you should go there and, you know, check things out and da-da-da. You know, and I was always in and out anyway. When I got there, you know, that water and the dimly lit stuff, and you see a bunch of nerds appearingly. So, but they are, you know, and the girls are younger and from foreign. And I was, what is this mess going on in here? Nah, this don't feel right. You go that voice again. Nah, let's get out of here. I don't care how she and foo-foo lied. I don't care how many red carpets out front. Let's get up out of here. And slowly I turn step by step and change.
Yeah.
But mm-mm.
Mm.
Yeah. And then when he becomes president, poof, it automatically goes away.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just what it is. And it's really, really, it saddens me on so many levels. And it's done under the guise of the old boys club or the good old boys or whatever you want to call them, you know, if you're not part of it, you know, on some level.
Yeah. No, that's true.
It's weird. But I think we got a lot of reckoning going on. I do believe that we are at the top. We haven't gotten to any part of anywhere. We are at the tippity top of a world reckoning. You know, things are going to have to crumble before they get better because we just won't stop. He won't stop. He's obsessed and fixed. And I say he, because I believe that it's going to be women that are going to pull us out of this, and white women better get it together. They better get it together. Because you've supported this crap up until you started being affected by it. Now you're screaming, oh. And I'm looking like, yeah, welcome. Welcome to sanity.
Exactly.
But it's not, but don't get your presence confused with the main event.
Yep. And now they're mad that we're not, you know, like really leading the charge against this Texas nonsense. But you know what? You supported these guys. These were your guys. These were your men. And we are up in arms about it, but it's, guess what? It's your fight. Go fight it. Go fight it. Because
that's an interesting point.
Yeah, because they're not really doing all of this because they don't want black women to not have abortions. They don't want white women to not have abortions. They want you to be barefoot and pregnant, have some babies. They want black women in the workforce, preferably cleaning their houses and stuff, but they just want, you know, white babies. That's what they need right now. I don't, you know, and it's necessary for white women to get on board and understand that this is all, it's all one thing. The smallest fraction of the population that's controlling everything. But because white women support them, that's why they're able to continue. And that's why they're trying to hurry up and change all the voting laws, because we're starting to understand that if when we vote as black women, when we vote, we have power. Collectively.
I've been, yes, yes, you know, it, but, you know, I just have, yes,
we
just I believe
need some,
in.
We need better people to run for election. We need better people, better choices.
Yeah, because, you know, oh, and speaking of which, I wanted to say this and give a shout out to my girl, Megan McGlover. And Greta Gabba, I see you. Gabby Greta, I'm sorry. I see you and I see what you're writing. And I am a believer of that as well. No, I believe that as well. It, you know, and when we started this conversation, Javon, started talking about at the top of the hour, we started talking about how we've lost the capacity to have conversation. And a lot of people use their platform just to be able to speak to the people. Now, there's no exchange. You don't see, so the idea of bullying, you know, you don't see two people on a screen and you don't see that actively happening. What you see is one person expressing their point of views, right? That was what the United States was known for, because other countries, sometimes you just can't do that, right? So you should be able to have an opinion without it inciting a riot, right?
Yes.
So, Megan McGlover, who is a family friend, comedian, and a few other things. She's got this book out, right? And maybe I need to reach out to have her on the show. She's very outspoken, and she provokes thought. And the way she gives you information is always through the lens of a comic. So she's giving you the truth, but it's like she'll say things like, I done told y'all. You know, and her natural speech pattern, it's like it's a combination of things that makes her funny while she's feeding you, because, you know, you got to put a spoonful of sugar to let the medicine go down, right? So, you know, and she often will say, you know, I tried to tell you, ho, you know, and she talks in third party when she's given the information. So she has like she had a whole lot of TikTok followers, you know, and somebody, and when Biden said, you know, enough is enough, you know, with the condescending white male privilege.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say the patriarchal thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, you know, it struck a chord with quite a few, because everybody was talking about it. Well, Megan said, you know, and Megan said what a lot of us felt. Like, who are you talking to? Like, that wasn't very presidential. Watch your tone, Mr. Biden. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and that doesn't make you look mighty or strong. It makes you look cowardly and weak, quite frankly. You know, if you have to scream or scold to get your point across, raise your point, not your voice. You know, so she mentioned on her platform, she was like, "Who is Biden, my pimp?" You know, she asked the question. He's not my and certified. He's not my pimp. Who does he think he's talking to? Crazy like that. When he was like, you should have had that for Trump when you was running against him, because you look real weak in the debates. Then you get in on the, you get the seat and you start talking reckless. Now you bad, Joe? Oh, okay. But I just didn't like the delivery. You know, if he meant business, all right, fine. You mean business, but just your delivery sucked every part of the ass. It really did. So she made mention of that on her platform, and they took it down.
Who took it down? TikTok?
TikTok took her platform down.
The whole page?
Took it down. Called it hate speech. Took her content and her platform down.
Wow.
For hate speech. And her question was, well, who am I hating on, Biden? Who am I hating on? I'm expressing whatever. But she's going to fight that, of course.
Yeah,
you
there's
know?
A whole bunch of people on TikTok saying things anti-Biden, anti-Trump.
Oh, but they don't have millions of followers, you see. You see.
Some of them
and,
are pretty popular, though. I mean.
Okay. All right. They probably are. But it's there,
she's
you know.
Black.
So.
Because there's been a lot of issues with black creators on TikTok who have large followings. A lot of them, even if they're not political, though, they're being taken down. TikTok is a Chinese-run application. It's not even American. And if you recall, Trump wanted to shut TikTok down in America because of whatever. But
there were some privacy issues with TikTok as well about them being able to read into your telephone.
Right,
and
the
stuff.
Chinese. Right. And so it's if TikTok took it down, I can't imagine the Chinese. I don't know. But they are anti-black people, black Americans especially.
Well, and you don't speak against the government in China either.
Maybe.
You know. So, you know, that may have been, I don't know. I really don't know.
But I know that they're saying like I know that there's a lot of black creators on TikTok who have large followings that have made dummy
backup accounts
to say that all of their content was removed. And I don't know if they're all saying political things, whether it be anti-Biden, anti-what. Definitely an issue. And, yes, she should fight it and get her thing back up there. That's
how
crazy.
About, you know, how about these platforms? And, again, here we go. Fundamentals. We make these apps and platforms hot. We do, the consumer. It is time to have a platform that is strictly for us, where we have our content. So we ain't worried about nobody's TikTok, nobody's Facebook, Instagram. We make one where you can express your point of views to each other that is for us, by us. You begging other folk for, you know, for their platform. They have the ultimate control over what you see. You know, because some folks, their content, you can be following them and you never see their stuff because they've limited what they can share. You know, you see 10% of their content,
yeah,
or if
absolutely.
That. And people have been complaining about it.
So, I mean, if there are people, clearly there must be some black people who can create platform. You know,
next time I go to my coding session, because they were suspended, I'm going to bring that up. We need to create a platform.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring that up.
I just feel like, you know what, Therese, I'm just at this point where for me personally, I just can't do another thing right now. I'm waiting for my freedom papers, girl. And you know, like you said, hopefully I live to see it. You know, there's so many things that we need and so many things that would benefit us as a people, especially if somebody says, like you said, your friend is saying she didn't like the way Biden came off, and I didn't see that particular thing because I try not to, believe it or not, watch as much as I used to. If it was as insulting to many people and people are saying it and people are chiming in, then shit, it needs to be said. It deserves to be heard. And she could come right here and say it. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
she's got a new book out that the title of the book is Stop Lying. and I think I will reach out to her to have her come on and.
There was a Black Women's March. Do you recall the young ladies that came on? Oh, Jesus, I'm drawing a blank right now. Black feminism was one of the. Oh Jesus, I can't think. Black feminism. Yes, it was you. It was okay. All right, we gotta have
gotcha.
You. We gotta have you back on. I was because I was trying to. I thought that the march was supposed to be in September 25th or something like that, or 12th, whatever. Anyway, hit me up in my inbox. And she's laughing at me because I'm old. I know. Girl, I be trying to remember stuff and I just can't. But we spoke about that, and I didn't realize that you were that person. That's really cool. Thank you for watching. I'm glad that you still hang out with us.
It's a nickname.
I dig it. So, yeah, if you could just hit me up and then we can come up with a date for you to come on, and then we can talk more about the march. And look at that. The last time they were on, it was like 700 girls and women. And now it's 1,001. It's crazy. Majority of those murderers, black men. I saw this TikTok. There's this TikTok that floats around where they say, this woman says, well, I don't know why he would do that. I didn't raise him up to be evil like that. And then the girl says, really? Well, then who did, Patricia? Who raised him to be like that then? Who? What? Who did it? And
yeah,
not to place complete blame on any one person, but how are these people, what are we doing to our boys that they grow up to either? I mean, and look, I love my brothers. I'm not male bashing. I'm definitely not bashing, but the truth is the truth. Truth is the very much truth. And adults do make their own decisions, but when we make, if I make a decision, when I made decisions as a young person, I made decisions kind of willy-nilly, but I also knew better. There were certain things that I knew not to do. There were certain things that I would get an instinct. Don't do that. Like Therese, you said you went into this nice place. You, I'm assuming, were a model during that period of time. And people who are trying to pursue that kind of career want to be a part of the fanciness and the shenanigans, the fancy shenanigans. But then something in your gut, and I'm going to assume that you learned some things prior to walking into that setting that told you this is not a good girl place. This is not something that somebody who wants to be safe will do.
So, yeah, absolutely. And thank you for saying that particular piece, because, you know, your caretakers, and I'm not going to limit that to your parents, your caretakers pour in the fundamentals, right? And, you know, and let's just be clear. There's a lot of degradation that hangs out. Like, when they resurfaced this park not too far from my house, right, they made it really kid-friendly, and it's very cute. It has colors and has, you know, the basketball courts were resurfaced. It's a cute little park. So they have water things for the kids, and that takes up like maybe 3/4 of the park. They have a little dog run, and then they have a basketball court. So the park is not, it's on a corner. It's not, you know, it's not huge, but it's well done, well designed. So whenever I drive by, I find myself looking at the park, you know, and I possibly shouldn't say this because I haven't even shared this with my wife, but I will say there was one time where I saw this gentleman in the park, and he was without a child. And there were kids playing in the area, and he was way off to the other side, kind of just. So I said, well, he's awfully far away from them. Maybe he's their caretaker. But that's not what my insides were saying, right? So later on that day, drove past, guy is still there. See kids, but not the same kind of kids, you know? So then I pull over. Because again, this is my neighborhood. So I said, you know, I had my first, I want to see what this is experience being a Karen, right? I walked through the park and I said to the kids, hey, y'all, you know, and some said hi, some didn't, you know, and I was like, anybody know that guy over there? The little girl was like, what guy, you know? And I said, over there. And one of the children was Spanish-speaking, but she knew enough to do this. So I said, oh, okay. So I went back to my car, and it wasn't but like maybe three or four kids in the playground, you know. None of them knew him. And he was there from early part when I drove around the corner and saw him, right? So you know as an adult, if you don't have kids in the park, don't hang out in the park.
Right.
You know, don't hang out in the kiddie section of the park. It's a right. kiddie park.
Exactly.
So I went back to the car and I, you know, I called the police department and I was like, I told them the park and I said, and I've just observed this gentleman that's been here from the top of the day. And I say that's about 8:30 this morning. And now it's about 4:30 and the park closes at 6:00. He's been like kind of hanging out in the park all day long. Before I got to the corner, they were coming down the block. So I said, let me circle back around, see what's what. Do you know when I circled back around, the police were there talking to the kids. He was walking down the block. Mm. I was like, instincts. Something ain't right. Just pay attention. Something your God voices are going to carry you through a lot of this. You know?
Exactly.
God's voices are going to carry you through a lot of stuff.
Well, what I want to just say is this, because we're running down. And we're about to close up. I once heard that we women love their sons and raise their daughters. I'm going to say that again.
Mm.
Women love their sons and raise their daughters. I say, give your son a doll. Teach him to be a father. Teach him to be caring. Give him a doll from day one. And, that's my spiel. That's my take on it. So, Resi Poo, whatever you do for the rest of this weekend, I want you to enjoy it to the max. And
will do.
Maybe we'll take another Wednesday off so I can have some time to figure more stuff out and try it again. All right? But I'll let everybody know this time, okay?
And I'll post it on the page as well.
Okay, groovy baby. Everybody have a...
Peace, party people. See you later.
This is Robin S., and you're listening to Javon and Therese in the basement. So what I need you to do is, I hope you're showing them love. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
That wasn't like the first one I did. I did something like, hi, this is Robin S., and you're listening to Javon and Therese in the basement. Show them love!
This is Terrell Carter, and you are listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, this is Avery Sunshine, and I am in the basement with Javon and Therese. Shine!
What's up? It's your girl, Monifa, and you're tuned in to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Terrence.
Hey, it's your girl, Allison Williams, and you're in the basement with Javon and Terrence.
Hey, this is Lenny Williams, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Terrence playing My Kind of Music.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say, but it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway, but she did mention none other than Chaka Khan as one of her.
Why you gotta say, wait a minute. Why you gotta say Chaka? She did mention
no other than Chaka Khan.
I'm like, where does your voice go? What happened? What's happening? Even the mere mention of her name. Silence. Oh, gosh.
Would you believe I'm blushing?
Yes. Hard. Your speech was blushing. That's the thing. Speech was blushing.
Rezzy, I can't help it.
It's a Chaka. This is Chaka rehab, you know.
If there's a cure for this, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Senses, though, Jay.
I'm gonna send y'all some perfume. I'll get an address. I'll send y'all out tomorrow.
You can send me some cologne, because I mean,
cologne,
you know.
Yeah. I
just in
that.
Case I should meet Chaka Khan, I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh God.
Okie dokie, babe. Whatever you say.
I want to wish everybody a happy Chaka Khanaka. All right, thank you. Let's carry on. I'm sorry.
Javon, yeah, there's a pill you're going to be able to take.
I promise not to tell them which way you went, but they're coming for you.
With time, so
and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just use it.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr.
Ooh.
Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.
What's up, everybody? This is Cy Smith, and you are in the basement with Javon and Therese. In the basement with Javon and Therese. In the basement with Javon.
So Nicki Minaj's tweet that pushed a crazy false claim about a cousin's friend's aunt's cousin's father's sister's aunt who experienced some kind of weird side effect from some vaccine, the story has gotten even weirder. The administration is disputing her claim, Nicki's claim, that they invited her to the White House to talk about it, okay? Rather than stopping the misinformation, though, we now introduce Tucker Carlson, who made this invite on his show the other night. Watch this. Thank you.
joining Chelsea's Loose Tea. So living in the same neighborhood, we went to the same high school. So did my parents like it when we got closer? Nope. My mom and dad, they're a lot of people. Chill like women. And, you know, I was doing my thing. And I couldn't, I can't believe you're dating her. Of course, I was young and probably jealous. I was, but what you gonna do? I would say, what does he call it, problems? Mean tweet. Yeah, we're men, women. Let's just say this. I remember, wow, that's like some grown woman stuff right there. Monique, a grown woman. And I gave him a blessing. Even though secretly I was like, did I do the right thing? Gilbert was my first true love.
No,
it was like Casanova. He got me with that.
Did the White House extend an invitation to Nicki Minaj to come here?
Well, first, we don't see this as a point of tension or disagreement. I want you all to know that we engage all the time with people who have big public platforms or profiles. Some of them we talk about. Some of them are here. Some of them you don't even know about because they're just looking for questions to be answered. We offered a call with Nicki Minaj, and one of our doctors